It's so fun, Sylvia, that like several of us have been here. I guess all of us have been here with you along your journey, and some of us from, like you said, right? Like a few years, several years back when you were, it was like a, what do they say, a twinkle in your eye, and you were thinking about getting your MBA. And
Yeah.
oh my gosh, I have goose. I just, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a journey and a really, really great one too. A lot of, growth involved and change, and so much has happened. So really, really glad.
Wow, amazing. How was your last semester?
It wasn't too bad. Just a couple of classes, and things ramped up though for finals, and but yeah, just glad to have learned so much, and I'm looking forward to putting my new skills to good use at hopefully like a nonprofit or a or like a B Corp type environmentally minded company or something like that. So we'll see.
Yay.
Yeah.
So amazing. Share, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You don't have to answer, of course. Share with us something that you learned about yourself on that journey, on this journey.
That's a great question. Maybe, let's see, maybe just more of what I can accomplish, maybe. Like, I've always been like kind of unsure, and I definitely have my setbacks of like feeling confident enough to be able to do something bigger. Cause growing up, I never imagined, myself necessarily getting a master's or, working full time or something, instead, and usually it was like imagining myself as like a homemaker kind of situation. And so like I'm just constantly, I feel like, pushing like this boundary or this ceiling that I had before. And so just kind of seeing what I can do and how much I've learned. And it's such a gradual process too, that sometimes I don't even see it. And so it's nice to like get reflection from like you guys or like my partner, who says like, wow, you talk a lot, more like using these business terms, and you like understand a lot more. And but it's so gradual sometimes for me. So so it's like, yeah, I have learned a lot. Like, I can really help, do some more good in the world, which is why I wanted to learn more. So
Wow, so inspiring, so inspiring. Like, I'm really tempted to just make this call all about you tonight. Oh, I mean, it's so truly, Sylvia, like you have paved your own path amidst an origin story and an experience where that wasn't what was planned for you, and you've done it, and you chose it, and you did it, and you stuck with it, and you committed, and you've finished it, and you're helping the world, and you have this giant heart, and you chose something that's going to allow for you to do that. Like, it is so amazing. And I hope you write a book, and I hope you start a podcast, and I hope that you share your journey, because there are so many women who are confined by cultural norms, conventions, religious norms, racial norm, gender, all of it, right? And you've broken the mold. You've broken all of those, and you're doing you, and it's so incredible. Ah, it's so cool.
Thank you. I appreciate everyone's encouragement, because I am just kind of like a timid sort of person. I am like an introvert, and sometimes it's kind of difficult for me to blaze my own trail. It's kind of just all happened, this way, but I've learned so much, and so I am grateful for the different path, even though it is a little tough for me at times. So yay.
Yay. And learning to, oh man, learning, and I mean this in the most respectful way for all of us, like learning to think for yourself learning to think for yourself and trust your desires and trust your North Star, and like breaking away from a very planned way of thinking, which we all are, right? Like we're all in a culture that kind of has things already like blueprinted out for us, which is what we're talking about quite often. But there are like degrees of intensity and degrees of confinement in that. And so for a lot of us, when we step away or when we start to blaze our own path, or even just when we start to become curious, thinking for ourselves is so new. It's scary. It's vulnerable. We're, you know, there's fear involved. What if I mess up? What if I choose the wrong thing? What if they were right and I was like all of that stuff? And to credit everybody here, and Sylvia, thank you for modeling this and being a beacon for this, is allowing yourself the journey of self-discovery as an adult and choosing some really big, bold, badass goals along the way and then kicking their butts, getting your MBA. Yeah, truly incredible. Who else thinks that we should have Sylvia as the first guest on the LFP podcast when it launches? Me. Yeah. Oh, so amazing. Oh, and what a great way to start a conversation about purpose and meaning and thrive mode. That's like teed us right up. Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you. Thanks for the encouragement.
yeah, of course. Okay, so I think we had a couple of maybes, so I'm just going to go ahead and kind of shift into the official call here. Actually, before I do that, I'm going to see if I can't fix my super, super old and sad earbuds, AirPods. Okay, can someone just say something? Testing.
Hello?
Hi. Yes, they're working. Thank you. Beautiful. All right, so ladies, tonight we're going to be doing some different things and shaking things up a bit, switching things up in a good way, in a fun way, hopefully. So we're talking about purpose and meaning and inner thrive, which, as you may have guessed, like all of these calls are in some way underneath that umbrella related to those themes. We're going to be directly diving right into these themes. In my experience, these are the themes that are the alarms or the agitations within us that help us to wake up or provoke us to wake up out of our discontentment in whatever it was that we were doing with our lives, our jobs, or what have you. And there tends to be this sense of, I want to do something meaningful. I want to live a life of purpose. I want to feel like I matter. I want to feel like my life is here for a reason, you know? And so there's this feeling of, on the one hand, confusion, kind of lostness, you know, we talk about this all the time, like the kind of the before and then the after. But purpose and meaning and inner thrive, and I'm not as overt about this necessarily with all of you along our coaching journey, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes of what we're doing in the coaching and behind the scenes in some of the, like, or all of the LFP framework. And so tonight, I'm going to kind of take you behind the curtain a bit, and we're going to explore what is all of it? What is purpose? What is meaning? Like, what are these feelings that we feel on this deep core level, like in just gut level, whether we're living in alignment with purpose and meaning or not? What are the connection points? What is the relationship between purpose and meaning? What is the relationship between purpose and inner thrive? So as I'm apt to do on these calls and conversations, semantics are important when we're talking, especially when we're talking about super big themes that we think about a lot, or that, you know, we tell ourselves are important or priorities in our lives. So the unpacking of the semantics, the unpacking of the almost like the ontology, like what is it that we are referring to when we're talking about purpose and meaning? So we're going to do a little exploring after a quick intro round. We're going to do some getting curious and kind of turning on our flashlights and spelunking through the realms of meaning and purpose, and simply to create some awareness for ourselves and each other around what are these you know words. What's really interesting is that all language, all thought, all concept is metaphor, right? It's something that is signifying or symbolizing something else. So when I say purpose, what comes up for me is probably whatever I've been told it is, or whatever I've repeated to myself it is, or whatever I've assumed it is. And when you hear the word purpose, whatever comes up for you is going to be, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's interesting to note that this word is a symbol for something else. And oftentimes we kind of just stop at the word, right? Like purpose. Oh, I wish my life were more purposeful, or I'm trying to find my purpose, or I feel disconnected from my purpose, right? So what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? So we're going to do a little investigating. And then I'm going to share a video with you. It's about 12 minutes long. So we're going to have a little watch party for the first time. And watch this very, very thought-provoking video about purpose and meaning. And then we'll have a little bit of a discussion, reflection afterward, and then some discussion. And then we're going to revisit some of the questions around purpose and see what has shifted. And if I have time, I'm going to lead us through a short guided open focus activity. For those of you who don't know, I'll be talking about this a lot more in upcoming weeks. I stumbled across this technique for altering brain frequency and optimizing it for higher levels of consciousness, and it's called open focus. And I just today finished my one-on-one training with the woman, her husband, Les Femi, discovered it 45 years ago, and Susan, his wife, who I studied with, she helped him bring it into the world. And so he passed last year, and so now she's kind of the only one with all of his body of knowledge and work with this. And so I've been training with her, studying with her for the past 3.5 weeks, almost every morning for a couple of hours, just learning as much as I can. And I officially got certified this morning, so I'm super excited. Yeah, thank you. So it's huge, and I'm not even going to go into all of that right now because it's like, it's so cool. But it's very related to purpose. It's very related to actually accessing not only insight about what our purpose might be, or insight about our meaning or what is meaningful to us, but actually accessing purpose, like a state of purposefulness. So if I have time, I'm going to lead us through an activity, and then we'll continue to explore purpose. So I kind of think of it as tonight as being an exploration where we check things out from one angle, and we're kind of, you know, like wondering about that, getting curious, sharing, and then we're going to walk over kind of around to the side and look at it from that angle, and then kind of circle around and check something out from a different perspective and just see what we see about all of this purpose and inner thrive business that we talk about so much. Okay, so let's do a quick intro round. I know all of you know each other, but for the sake of landing in this space together, let's do a check-in. We'll do name, location. How are you feeling physically, emotionally, somatically? And what, give us an example of something in your life that's been related to purpose lately. Something related to purpose. It could be an exploration. It could be something you did, or something you realized about yourself, or anything at all. Okay, I'm gonna start with Katrina. So great to have you here. I love when you're able to join us.
Yes. My name's Katrina. I'm from Long Beach, California. How am I feeling? Exhausted, like into my bone marrow today. Just one of those. Oh, the 7 straight hours of really intense meetings. So, yeah, I feel like I was in my job currently. I take a lot of bullets, so that's why I was a target today. So it was good. It was good. Got through it. But I think we're coming out the other side slowly but surely. In terms of something related to purpose, I just launched my whole family ADHD coaching business, coaching parents of children who have ADHD. So, yeah, it's been really fun. That's been really, really, I'm excited about that. Another thing that I've done that I haven't even told you in my spare time is I'm now going to be working with a company called Dress for Success. That it started helping women get who needed like clothing and help with getting job interviews and then helping outfit them for the week, but they do career coaching. And so I've signed up to be a career coach, and then they also do workshops. And so I like am going to start leading a bunch of workshops.
Oh my gosh, so, Katrina!
Really excited. Like this is, if I could quit my job and do both those two things, that's where I want to go in life. Yeah. So I'm excited.
Oh my gosh. Okay, ladies, unmute.
Yay!
Yay! Yay! Tonight I'm hiding from my children in my bedroom, so that's why I'm laying in bed right now.
Yay! Congrats, Katrina. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome share. That is so, that's just so incredible. All right, who wants to go? Oh, did you want to share something else?
I'm on my phone, so it's hard for me to chat. I'm just saying thank you to Sylvia. I had never heard of them, and I stumbled across them, and yeah, I'm so excited to join them.
Amazing. If you'd be willing to post about both of those, if you haven't already, in the Facebook, the LLC Facebook group, that'd be amazing. I have a feeling other people would be interested in supporting that or being a part of both as well. So, yay. Awesome. Who'd like to go next? Volunteers? Deborah!
Everybody wants to follow Katrina or Sylvia. So, Deborah, I live in Dublin, California, and I'm feeling okay today. Normally when I come on these calls, I'm like so exhausted, but I'm feeling fine today. And, you know, I can't, like, I don't know with this purpose thing. Maybe just the pursuing of my doctorate degree, I feel like is in alignment with my purpose, because there was a period where I struggled about that, if it was something I really wanted, and where my motivation for wanting to pursue it was coming from. And now that that's been totally, like I've done a lot of exploring and digging around that, and I feel really good about what I'm doing. And we'll have another celebration in about a year, Sylvia. Yay! So I think that's probably the biggest thing in my life. But also, even though this area is like I don't know where it's going, I feel like another piece of purpose for me is kind of waiting for like what's going to happen next. Before I would have made my own decision. It's like, it's going to be this is what I'm going to do, blah, 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 make it happen. And now I feel like my purpose is to let things unfold. And so that's kind of exciting too. A little bit scary, but also exciting. So we'll see where things lead. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, a year from now. I mean, if it's still looking like being, you know, in person is a safe thing to do, I think we should all go to Deborah's graduation. So amazing.
Sounds like a party to me.
Yeah. And I love, thank you for modeling this, Deborah. I love your relationship with this purpose and future and what it is you're going to be up to. Thank you for modeling the being with the journey, in the flow of it. And also for highlighting in that parallel universe, the way it could have or would have been differently and where you're at with it now. It's a really powerful thing to see you model that. So thank you. Yeah. All right. Who's up? Who would like to go next?
I'll go.
Hi, Jeff.
You're welcome. I am Jess, you know. I'm in Jersey, and I'm feeling great because it's a Friday for me because I took off tomorrow. So this is the start of my long weekend. We're going
nice.
Camping. Yeah, so very excited to the Adirondacks with the kiddos. So looking forward to packing and just getting up there. It's just a beautiful area. So the freshest thing right now is that I decided to, I got recruited for the interview committee that hires new teachers coming in to the new high school that I'm working in this year. And I had the choice and it was a pretty clear one, but I had never done it. And I always viewed it as an administrative role or you needed a administrative certification, and he just saw in me what I see in myself a lot of times when I'm not looking at a box, and I just love it. So it's fresh for me because we were on our third candidate today, and it's the type of situation that I'm meant to be in. You just give me 20 minutes and let me just read underneath all the things and put people at ease. I really enjoy they start really loud because they're so nervous, and I have them relaxed and shoulders back in a couple minutes and laughing, and that feels good. And I think it's really important when you bring people into a space with other people to have them be a good puzzle piece, and it really matters. So I've been really enjoying that, and I feel like that's part of my purpose. So that feels very much in line with coaching in a sense, but also it just, man, hiring is really important. Yeah. And I just realized all the times I've been interviewed, how they did not have the right people on the interview team, and that it does not matter what a normal day-to-day lesson looks like. My question was how was the experience through the pandemic, and how did you take care of yourself, and what did the transition look like? And that just led into so much of who they were, and that matters. That shows you their ceiling, their potential, their ability to do anything other than math, because we know you can do math. You fucking graduated from Cornell. I'm not worried about it. Literally, it's gonna be okay. I'm pretty sure you can do Algebra 1, so I'm feeling really grateful for that experience. That they didn't care that they only don't look at administrators, or that they're just, he was like, I want you.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that is such a fit for you. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. They're fortunate to have you all involved. So fortunate to have you in that position.
Thank you. I hope we find a rock star.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I could see some dovetailing and some, it's giving me some ideas already for coaching, the infusion, right, of coaching and your ability to really tune into people like that. That's really amazing. Cool. All right, who's up next? Got Layla, Micah.
I'm Micah. I'm in Denver now.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yay!
Yay! I love it. And purpose. I'm trying to. Well, first I want to say.
Okay,
Deborah,
hold up, Micah. Hold up 1 second. I'm sorry, everybody. What are you doing in Denver?
It happened really fast, Deborah. I didn't even tell you. Yeah.
Nice, Deborah.
We
we moved. It's funny because I told Fawn, like, multiple times, like, that we wanted to move here and we wanted to get out of Nashville. And then I was like, but we're going to wait a year. We're going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And then we found out from our landlord that they were selling our house at the end of the month. So we had to get out, like, and make the decision really fast. And, Nashville's gotten really expensive, and that's part of why we originally stayed and didn't move anywhere else. We were like, oh, it's affordable, it's a city. And now we're like, you know what? Let's just get, like, pay for an experience. So we're in Denver, and we both love it. It's awesome. So purpose. Deborah, I got chills when you said, I can't remember exactly what you said, something about, like, purpose in the waiting. That gave me chills, and I really resonated with that. And I feel like I don't know quite how to, like, even answer, like, talk about purpose, but that I really resonated with. And maybe I know what I feel led to, like, create a coaching, like, work around rewilding for people. And so I guess that would feel like my purpose. But I guess right now in this moment, my purpose feels like just listening for the next right thing, because I'm not there yet. And I feel like it's on the rewilding path, but I don't know where it is. So, yeah, I don't quite know how to answer that. But, I guess that's what I have.
Love it. Thank you, Deborah, for that call out invitation for signature. You're like, what are you doing, Deborah? Wait a minute. So good. Awesome. Thanks, Micah. And if you can, in a sound bite, share with the group, like, the significance of moving to Denver in context of your life.
I don't know. I guess I'm, like, brain dead right now because I'm like, I don't know what the significance is. But
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. No, it feels really, really purposeful in that, like, what I want to do is help people kind of rewild. And it's neat because I'm in this new city and it's more walkable, which is, like, really awesome for me, like, being visually impaired, because normally I'm have to depend on so many other people. And so it's been really cool it's felt like such a cool practice of rewilding to be able to, like, have the opportunity to do things that scare me and feel like a person, you know? And I just feel like it's been so cool. I'm just, like, so jazzed because it's just, like, something about it has just lit me up being here. And it feels like I was always supposed to be here, and, like, something just clicked. And Fawn and I were joking about, like, me and this, like, wilding journey, and how, like, I'm literally in a place where there's, like, tumbleweeds now. Like, I'm literally in, like, the Wild West. So it's been a cool spot. Yeah, I, like, I'm loving it so much I have a hard time, like, explaining it, because I'm just like in it, and it's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. I'm sharing a little bit more about that. And I'm inviting that, and I'm going to just kind of add something as well, because you are also modeling something that a lot of people have desire around, or, like, I wish I could, when it comes to moving somewhere, like, that they dream of living, or not living somewhere that is not in alignment with them. And you, up until you moved to Denver, had been living in an area where you knew that you didn't feel hell yes for you, and there were a lot of things about that. And so, and this is the first time in your life that you have moved somewhere on, you and your husband have moved somewhere on your own, because you want to, on your terms, away from anybody trying to tell you what to do about it, and, like, creating that sovereignty and creating that intentional following of the North Star for yourself. And, like, that is fucking so courageous and so inspiring. And I really want to highlight that, because it's a really fucking big deal.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And yeah, it's funny too, because I knew we didn't, Nashville didn't feel quite right, but it was like a couple weeks ago, we were sitting at breakfast and we were like, we thought it was us, but we just didn't like Nashville. But we always thought like we were the problem the whole time. And now we're here and we're like, this is so much better. Why did we make that for so long? So yeah, thanks, Vaughn. That's really nice to say it like that. Because I forget it was like huge, because I'm just like loving it now. But it was scary.
And that's like, it's such a great example of following desire, following intuition, following, even though it would have totally logically made sense to stay or whatever, you know, like following and the feeling on the other side of that, that feeling of like, yes, this is, wow, why didn't I do this for earlier? Yeah, amazing. Amazing. Because so often, you know, and I think we relate, we stay in the comfort zone. We stay, overstay our welcome, you know, in these comfort zones for all number of reasons. And it's inspiring. It's really, I think, important and great to hear about people who are taking those steps and doing the things and the affirmative experience on the other side of following intuition. Yeah, really, really beautiful. Okay, yeah, the universe gave you a push, exactly. It's like, you're not staying here for another year. Your house is on the market. Oh, awesome. All right, Layla, you are up.
Okay, so many awesome updates tonight. It's crazy. A lot of positivity. So I'm in San Diego now. We came back. You guys know that I talk about travel a lot and moving, and we're doing 5 to 6 months here and then back to Mexico, which I'm already ready to go back. No, I'm kidding. I'm actually trying to make the most out of my time here, and being very intentional here. How I'm feeling is like definitely, I feel very energetic and grateful to just be alive and be here on this call with you guys. I definitely felt some sadness today because of like, you know, I don't mean to bring up sad recent events, but you guys know what's going on and, you know, that's all in our hearts. So like, you know, that's been on my mind a little bit and, you know, and it's like, it makes me, sorry, I'm emotional, but it's like, we got to like hug our loved ones more, you know? So, you know, and I'm also like actively trying to do more stuff like this, you know, like women's groups, where we're all supporting each other and we can be in an honest space, you know? And I think the more I'm around that, the more like energy that I have. And hopefully the energy, and I feel the energy transfer amongst us. You know, so I'm really, really, really grateful for that. And then, you know, purpose, I had so many ideas that came to my head. I think one of them was like, recently I learned a lesson, you know, I won't go into the details. It's a long story, but I learned a really, really valuable lesson. And it was something that happened a long time ago that I completely forgot about until 2 years ago, which sometimes that happens, right? Something crazy happens and then you like shut it off. I mean, that's what I did. I just shut off. I'm like, okay, this is too difficult. I'm just going to pretend like it never happened. And like, I recently been like, exploring what that was and what that meant to me. And, you know, one thing I thought is, you know, is whatever lessons we learn, whether it was difficult to get there, not just me, anybody, is that one gift that we can give to our sisters, our nieces, our grandparents, or it doesn't matter, friends, like we can pass that along to someone who needs it and who's looking for it, you know? So I think it was like that came up recently. That's been the most front of my mind is if I went through something, if I did something or something, I didn't do anything, but like if I learned something, that's something that I can share that with someone that might be looking for it. And I know people have done that for me and it's been very valuable. So, that's what I thought of when I thought of purpose was like, what is that now? What does that mean to me now? I thought about a lot of things, work stuff. I'm like, I've been talking about my work stuff a lot lately. So I want to like talk about some other stuff, but even my work ties into that. Like my, you know, for example, like I have, you know, people I work with that they want to travel more and they want to like start their own business while they work full time and do all this. And like me and my husband have done a lot of those things and like, and we're willing to do the due diligence to support that, you know? So we pass along a lot of the things that we learned when we moved and we traveled and we start our business, you know, and then by helping them with their business is helping me learn more too. It's not just one way street. So yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited about this call. I'm looking forward to like diving in, you know, I think it's going to be good stuff. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you always.
Like, thank you always for your honesty and your heart and your sisterhood, Layla.
So, yeah. Thank you guys too. Yeah.
Okay. So just a quick housekeeping thing here. My screen is frozen. Can you guys thumbs up if you can? Well, my screen's frozen, so I can't. Layla, I can only see you for some reason. It's very interesting. So you can see me. I'm just going to stop you. Okay, awesome. Thank you. I'm just going to stop my video for a second. Sometimes that kind of resets the situation. So as the internet goddesses are shining fondly upon my internet connection right now and fixing whatever's going on, I invite you ladies to grab a pen and paper and
actually,
this might be a great time for me to make a couple of comments. Oh, there you are. You're back.
Yay.
I'm going to take care of that interim time, right? But two things. One is when Layla was sharing, I thought about what happened today, which was the father or the husband of one of the teachers who was killed, literally died of a broken heart. They said he was grieving so deeply for his, you know, his wife. And I was just thinking like, you know, we say that term like figuratively, but it's like, it just speaks to the closeness that some families have. And like when Layla was sharing, I was thinking about how like she was speaking of like community of women or, you know, those things that bring us joy and how we can connect better with one another. And so for me, that was just so precious because we don't know what time we have. And then I'm so far from my family, right? But it's like I find all these ways to try and stay connected with them. And sometimes it feels like they don't understand like how important these connections are, but that's not the important piece. It's important that I reach out to them and keep connections going. And so that really struck me. And then the other thing on a slightly lighter note, Micah, was when you were talking about the rewilding. I don't know. I kept thinking, where do I know like a similar term? And then I started going on my phone and on, what is this thing called? This app, Audible. And it was this book by Glennon Doyle, Untamed. And I was like, because I kept thinking there was a connection there somewhere and I couldn't remember what it was. It was driving me crazy. So I want to talk to you later about that. Rewilding. Yeah. And it's okay, Layla. I just love how, you know, how open and expressive you are. It's okay. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that too. Yeah.
Thank you, Deborah. Yeah, thank you for both of those. Yeah, it's all welcome here. You ladies know that. And I love that you know that. And I appreciate that you know that. And you can come with anything and be. Thank you for knowing that and trusting this space and supporting each other in this space. And we've been through a lot in the past 6 years, like this community. We have been through the craziest times in human history, really, if we think about it. And I appreciate I appreciate our willingness and our ability to be real and be here for each other and acknowledge what's coming up and acknowledge what's happening and acknowledge what's alive for people and be able to dive into these explorations. There's so much power in acknowledging, right? Acknowledging what's happening and also being able to shift focus into something, you know, that is whatever we're shifting our focus into. So I appreciate. Thank you, Layla, for sharing, and Deborah and all of you. That's so important. All right, so I've still got a few frozen squares here, but I'm gonna move forward anyway because you guys need to see me for what we're doing here. So we're going to, I'm gonna lead you through just a few reflection prompts, and I'll do them one by one, and you'll have, let's see, timing wise, 30 seconds to sit with the prompt, the question, and then jot down stream of consciousness. Don't overthink it. Stream of consciousness, whatever comes up. Doesn't even matter if it's like peanut butter and jelly, like M&Ms and rainbows, whatever. Just write down whatever comes through for you, unfiltered, unedited. There's no right or wrong. We're not trying to like get the right answer here, okay? All right. So question number one, does that make sense? You guys good to go? Okay, cool. And I'm gonna set my timer because usually, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm not the best at estimating time. All right, so we'll do 30 seconds per, because then just so all of you know, you can utilize this for yourselves as well. We don't want to, when we're accessing themes that are related to our thrive mode, our right hemisphere, we don't want to give ourselves too much time to think about it, because our left hemisphere will come in and try to make sense of it or strike it from the record or search for something better, or you know, so the spontaneous, there's a lot of benefit to reflection, don't get me wrong, right? But also there's a lot of value in short frames of time to listen for what comes in, not necessarily try to think into it. That's also, just so you ladies know, that's also why I don't send out the call workbooks when we have them. I don't send them out before the call because I want things to be spontaneous in the moment, and I don't want you to be like diving into them and thinking about it before the call. So it's my way of like leveling the playing field, and also keeping your minds as neutral as I can. All right. So question number one, what is purpose? What is purpose? And just go ahead and write down whatever comes through. And in 30 seconds, I'm gonna bring in question number two. And I'll probably do 5 total. All right, question number two. What does purpose mean to you? What does purpose mean to you personally? Question number three. What is your relationship and or experience of purpose? What is your relationship with or your experience of purpose? Question number four, where did your idea of purpose come from? Where did your idea of purpose come from? And question number five, what does purpose feel like to you or in you? What does purpose feel like? Ten more seconds. All right. Ding, ding, ding. All right. Thanks, ladies. Thanks for being great sports as always. So first question, we're going to popcorn this and we'll keep our responses kind of one-liner to 20 seconds, something like that. So first of all, how did it feel to listen and have a short amount of time to get your, to let it come through? What was that like for you, anybody?
I think for me, it was like, I realized I spent so much time like analyzing so much, and it was really like clear and concise when I wasn't thinking about it. I just wrote it in one sentence, maybe two, and clear, concise, and like easy. You know, when I'm overthinking it, I think my heart's pounding faster, and I don't know if other people relate to that, but I get that way sometimes. I get anxious if I'm thinking too much about it.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So like a distinct difference in your experience between having a short amount of time and, or like more typically like kind of longer and overthinking. Yeah. Ooh, thanks, Layla. Who else?
What was that like? Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Micah, did I see you? You've got the dogs. You had a wrestling match going on behind you. The doggie. Katrina, yeah.
To go on what Layla was saying also, not stopping to think about it meant more things could keep coming. Ooh. So like not stopping and going, oh, I wonder why I'm thinking that, or I wonder what that means. It just more and more and more was able to come in.
Interesting. Is that different than how you usually, different than normal for you, Katrina?
I've gotten better at this, but definitely used to be like, I would try to think about what I was supposed to say, as opposed to just, so like if something came in and I'd want to start like, I don't know, I'd want to deep dive it more, or I'd start as soon as I started second guessing what was coming in, inadvertently cutting off the flow. I love doing it like this. I love that you gave us time.
Yay. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. So again, another distinct difference in what happens with the shorter timer and then more time and overthinking. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, I agree. I'll just popcorn off that. I like the format. I like this in just about all aspects because it's like a better pulse on intuitively trusting my gut. So I want this in like all facets. Like I want someone to be like, decide right now. You have 20 seconds. And the way I'm leaning is the way I truly lean. if I have to decide in 20 seconds without any thinking. So that's appreciated.
Cool. Wait, is that something that you've practiced or done before?
Like sometimes it's occurred like in a natural setting, right, where it's like, oh, you have to decide. But other times, like, it's self-imposed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like awesome. For myself, because I was like totally perfectionist to analysis paralysis. And then I was like, how do I cut this cord?
Yeah.
Get off the nip, you know, like, because
I do that with my kids. If they're having a hard time, I'm like, you have 10 seconds or we're walking out and you get that.
Yep.
Yeah. It's totally. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Anybody else?
I just want to add, if you don't mind, I love that Katrina's like telling her kids, okay, you have 10 seconds. You know, it's like, I need to do that to myself. That's awesome.
Yep. Yep. Awesome. Yeah, that is a great practice. Like, yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah. Kids and adults respond in the same way. If you couldn't already imagine, kids get real like, oh, and like sad. Yeah. And like the same way as you could imagine if someone was like, decide right now. And you're like, oh, I'm not ready. I don't know. It makes me sad and angry and you're frustrated me. And like, and then you decide because you really just want the thing or don't want the thing, but you decide. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? I'm like holding back quite a bit right now. I don't want to spoiler alert anything. Anybody else want to share what that was like with the short time frame? Okay. All right. So now I'm going to we're going to go kind of like meta with this. We might get a little bit inception-y in the sense of like going in deeper. So now I'm going to have you look at your response to question number one. And I'm going to give you 10 seconds to read it and then gut check. Does that feel true or not? Does that feel accurate? Does that line up? Okay, go. And stop. All right. So hands up if, as you read that, you get a feeling of like, yeah, that checks out. Okay. Hands up if when you read it, you're like, I don't really know if that's really how I feel about that or what purpose is. Anyone uncertain? Okay. Hands up if you read that and you were like, that is not what purpose is. Why did I write that? That was ridiculous of me. Okay, nobody. Awesome. All right, let's go to question number two. What does purpose mean to you? Go ahead and read your response to that. 10 seconds. Feel into if it lines up, checks out. And stop. All right, hands up if you're like, yeah, checks out. Cool. All right. Number three, your relationship experience with purpose. 10 seconds. Gut check that one. Okay. Hands up if you're like, yeah, that feels pretty accurate, actually. Awesome. Hands up if it's I'm not really sure. Okay, cool. Hands up if you're like, oh man, where did that come from? I don't know why I wrote that down. Okay, awesome. All right, question number four. What was question number four? I skipped around my questions. Where did your idea of purpose come from? All right, 10 seconds to kind of check that one out, what you wrote for that one, how that feels. Stop. All right, hands up if it checks out. Okay. Hands up if you're like, I'm not really sure. It kind of does. I'm not super confident in it. Okay. Hands up if you're like, I have no idea where that came from, or that is not how I feel at all. Okay. Okay. All right. And lastly, feel like. Okay. So 10 seconds to kind of reread question number 5. What does purpose feel like? All right. Hands up if it feels pretty accurate. There you go. That's what purpose feels like. Okay. Hands up if you're like, oh, not really sure about that. Okay. And hands up if you're like, nope. Okay. Awesome. All right. So what did you ladies just notice about that exercise? In the like checking in the second time with what you had written. Thank you, Layla. Anything you're noticing about that? I'm like,
Okay, I'll go.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to say anything the first time because I think I was going to be the only one that was kind of negative, which is I didn't like the fact that you only gave us X amount of time because I feel like I was just getting started, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's over. However, I really liked my answers and I felt like they all like were like right on point, you know? And so even though I didn't like the pressure of the time, I did like my responses and I feel good about them. Like, I feel like they all resonated with who I really am.
Wow. Wow. Awesome. And it sounds like there's a desire to be there more, like express that more, to have more time for. Yep. Yep. Awesome. Thanks, Deborah. Anybody else notice anything in that, like, kind of second gut check?
I did. I, actually forgot some of the things I had written. Like, they came in so fast that when I went back and reread it, I was like, oh, this is good. Like, yeah. I remember having written.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That happens to me all the time. I'll go back and read a journal from, like, last week, and I'm like, is there a little gnome in here writing in my journal? Because I don't remember writing that.
That happens to me in life in general, but something I wrote 1 minute ago, I'm like, oh, that's good. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
I noticed that as soon as you said go back and read, my brain went, evaluate. So that was interesting.
Tell me more about evaluate.
It mainly happened with the fourth question, like, where did it come from? Mm. And it was like, was it really all your family? Was it really all learned? None of that's you? Right? Like, I started to, like, kind of tear that apart in 10 seconds. And, you know, that was really the one that came through that I analyzed, I wanted to analyze it.
Does that feeling of evaluate, is it like a curiosity? Like, ooh, I wonder though if that's really the case, or
yeah,
is it like
curiosity might be a better descriptor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I definitely, before, when I heard the word, like, look back, I felt myself like, oh, okay, now I have to analyze it. Like, now I have to make meaning out of it.
Right, noticing.
But 10 seconds wasn't enough time to do that, so that was perfect.
Yeah.
So the only one that really, the 10 seconds anything came up in was that fourth one.
Yeah. And it was an evaluate out of curiosity, kind of like an accuracy check in terms of not in, in getting it right or wrong, but like a curiosity of might there be more here? Yeah, more nuance. Okay. Yeah, great.
And also, does it matter? Because the 10 seconds, the last thing I was like, well, fuck it, we're on to the next one. Doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter. Move on. Next question.
And that, Jazz, is a powerful insight to have. Right? Like, we go into rumination cycles and we go into our like spin cycles of overanalysis, and you know, and analysis, and I'll get to this in a little bit, but analysis isn't bad. It's not, you know, like evaluating with curiosity isn't bad. However, that, you know, that's why I wanted to check in about that, because on the other hand though, if it's like right wrong, that's not really, you know, that doesn't really serve much. Yeah, exactly. Like pass, fail, right, wrong kind of flavor, right? And the, like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's just such an awesome example of how able we are to get out of our dryer cycles, right? To get out of our ruminations when we're prompted to do so. Like, I gave you 10 seconds, but it's not me who got you out of that like evaluative thinking pattern, right? It was you did. So really cool. Thank you for then just organic modeling. Cool. And we don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to trivialize meaning making. I'm not trying to trivialize things that could be informative and helpful. But most things are kind of trivial. Like a lot of the stuff we worry about and ruminate about is kind of like, probably different things we could be doing with our minds that are more productive. Being human. Okay, so thank you for indulging me in that activity. Now I'd actually love to hear what it was that some of you wrote about purpose. What is your response to any one of those answers? Not the one you think is the best or the one that you think you wrote the prettiest, but whichever one you feel intuitively called to share with the group, I would invite you to just go ahead and raise your hand or speak it into the room. And we're going to move on to a watch party. Micah, thank you.
Two things, because I'm kind of what you said, Jasmine, I really related to. I did want to share, I noticed that, well, first, almost all the answers were the same for me except for number four. And they all felt really true. So it was along the lines of like doing the next right thing and listening to your intuition and like being so in flow that listening to your intuition becomes, and like your own unfoldment, I guess, becomes something that affects the greater world, you know, because like when we're all listening, we just kind of flow into things, just change, like life just changed for everyone. That's kind of always how I feel about purpose. And that feels really good for me. But number four, I got super kind of triggered because I was like, well, I know what I think about purpose now, but like what did I think about purpose was totally different. And it was like got my religious trauma like stuff going, and I kind of panicked, and that was the only one that was different. And it was interesting to see that like I totally lost all sight of like connection with my intuition or anything when I kind of got triggered and like you were saying, got stuck in that little cycle. So that was kind of interesting.
So that question was a little taggy for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What do you make of that? For anybody else who, like number four, was like a different feeling than the rest of the questions.
Where did I learn it from? I think maybe it definitely touched on religious trauma stuff for me because I so associated purpose with what I knew purpose should be. So like some programming. But also I think maybe where I learned it from, I instantly like kind of didn't, was thinking about others instead of like what intuitively felt right. Yeah, I don't quite know. I'm still trying to like unpack that a little bit. But it was interesting because I felt like I was so in flow and I was kind of smiling and laughing that I kept writing essentially the same thing. And then all of a sudden four, and it was like a huge, like, someone like hit the brakes, you know?
Anybody else feel like that? Is that question? Like, where did your idea of purpose come from? Like, rut-row. Wait, what?
I had it with the question before. What's your experience with purpose? That's where my rut-row was.
Say more.
I wrote, like, tug of war, should and should not, back of face, wild dreams, idealist. Which is funny because all the rest of them were very positive, and like for that one, I was like, the things that I want to do, I think I'm still afraid to do.
So a lot came up for you. Yeah, a lot of dynamic colors came up for you around that one. Yeah, great. Okay, awesome. So my internet connection seems to be a little bit wonky again. Can I get a hands up if you guys can still hear me? Okay, awesome. I should have mentioned this at the beginning. If for some reason I get kicked off, I will send the link to, we'll send the link to Micah, I'll send the link to Jasmine, for the video to share with everybody. But I think we should be okay. Okay. So that was awesome.
Can I just have for 1 second?
Yeah, of course.
You asked where the rut row came from, and I just, like, food for thought, it was the only question that wasn't centered on us or our experience. It allowed us to move outside to other sources potentially, or like what would be perceived, like family, other people, you know, anything that was not. Was your experience? How do you feel? That was the first one that was like,
where did your idea of purpose
come from? So it's like it insinuated that it was from somewhere outside of yourself. So then we went to outside of ourselves, whereas the flow maybe before was within ourselves.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Man, all right. You guys are getting too good.
What's interesting for me is that one. Hold on, buddy. Okay, never mind.
Actually, I wanted to add on that. Number four, for me, I didn't, like Micah talked about the trauma or whatever. For me, it just became a progression. Like, I didn't see the judgment attached to who taught me what and how it's different now. I just kind of saw, like, oh, it used to be this. I got that from my parents. And now it's this. I got that from friends. So it was more like this train, so to speak. And so that was pretty cool. But my favorite question was number five.
Woohoo. Say more.
Yes. What does purpose feel like to me? Jazz. It felt like vibrating at the highest frequency. It feels like joy, and I love, like, this is my big aha, that now purpose is not just one thing, because before it used to be, oh, what color is your umbrella? Okay, I'm a teacher, and I'll be a teacher the rest of my life, but now it feels like purpose is in all the areas of my life, you know, purpose around with my friends, purpose with, right, and so it's just so much more expansive today. It's so many things is what I wrote, and so, And it feels like more in the present. Before it used to be like, this is it for the trajectory of your life, right? And now it's like, okay, what is it today kind of thing, right? So more present and more expansive. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd just like to add to what Deborah said is that I think, I didn't realize it until you said it, but I think there was a point where I was like, especially around 15, which is when the answer to number four was, where did your idea of purpose come from? I thought about when I was 15. And I think at that time, I don't know where it came from exactly, but like, it was like, okay, I'm going to have a specific career, and this specific career is going to contribute contribute positively to people. I always knew I wanted to be of service, but I didn't know how or what that would look like. But I think Deborah's right, is that it's like within you, it's a part of your foundation, and it comes out with everything that you do, which ties into like the answer I put for one and two are the same, was, and like I couldn't define it, I couldn't list it what it is. I was just like, the act of living authentically and other people around you are better as a result of it. And like, that's what it means to me. But, you know, and that's with many things is my hope, not just everywhere we go, you know, everywhere we go, not just with work, not just with your business that you're trying to build and quit your job and go to that business. It should be everything. It should be, not should, but it just is. You know, it's a part of our being, is our purpose. It's in our foundation. That's how I'm thinking about it.
Ooh, yes. I love that. I need to get this call transcribed and like pull some of these shares if it's okay with you ladies. Like, this is amazing. This is awesome. Thank you, Layla. Yes. And it actually, let's see. Where is that sticky note? It reminds me of the ultimate success mantra from The Big Leap, Gay Hendricks. Oh my God, I know I have it right here. Hold on, let's see how good I am. Okay, I expand. Don't ask me how I know where this is. I expand in abundance, creativity, success, and love every day as I inspire those around me to do the same.
Wait, that's my phone background. Wait, where is that from?
Oh, that's so awesome. It's from The Big Leap. It's Gay Hendricks. It's the success mantra.
It's a book?
It's The Big Leap. Have I not had to read The Big Leap?
No. What?
Okay, well, Jasmine.
Finally, she messes up.
That's legitimately my phone background. What you just read out loud.
That's awesome. I mean, The Big Leap is really popular. It's been around for a long time. That's so cool. I love that. Wow.
Yeah, me too. I love that.
Full circle. That's so interesting. The Big Leap, for anybody who is finding themselves not living at the, feeling like held back by anything from living as expansively as they dream of or dream of doing. The Big Leap is awesome. Have I had any of you read The Big Leap? No? Okay.
You're slipping.
What's that?
You're slipping.
I know. Well, it used to be an LFP staple book back in kind of the first few years, but I stopped recommending it as much because it is still boxy to me. It's helpful, but it's still kind of the traditional personal development. There's like four levels of genius and, you know, so I'm just a lot less black and white. Even though it's a really helpful book and a really famous one at that. That's where the term upper limiting comes from also, by the way. He coined the term upper limit and upper limiting and zone of genius. He coined that term in that book as well in like the 90s. But yes, Deborah, to your point, losing track of my book recommendations. Awesome. These shares are great. Anybody else want to share about, you know, what came through, what's come through for you with regard to purpose before we have a watch party? Okay.
Now that my daughter.
Oh yeah. Katrina, please.
Yeah. So a lot of what came through for me the thread of this was like your North Star, your guiding light, like the thing that sort of I wrote your heart's connection to the universe. Is that was kind of what purpose meant to me. And then my last one where it says, what does purpose feel like to you? I wrote coming home. So that's why it was kind of weird for me that like my experience with it, like my vision of it is so powerful, but my current experience of going for it
feels muddled.
No, I can't hear you.
I'm muted. Okay. Thank you so much. Those are really beautiful conveyances. Yeah. If you would be willing to share those in the chat and maybe in the Facebook group, I just love those two short coming home. It's really beautiful. Yeah. So, and it's a perfect segue, actually. Thank you. So recently, on recent calls the past few months, and with a lot of you in our work together, I've been exploring this distinction of inner thrive and outer thrive. And I've talked a lot about it, so I'm not going to talk so much about it right now in terms of my perspective on it or what I've noticed about it. But what I will say is that there's a lot of emphasis in certain circles, in certain camps, a lot of emphasis on it's all in our minds, right? It's all, we're creating our reality, we're experiencing reality as the neurons that are firing in our bodies, right? And the cells that are moving around in our bodies. And that it's our ability to become aware of that and kind of unplug the power of our inner stories and our inner commotion. So module three, basically, right? And that there's kind of this insinuation of life's a breeze when you just learn how to not listen to your thoughts. Like, life's a breeze as long as you just kind of go with the flow, you know, like, don't sweat the small stuff and everything's small stuff. And that totally checks out, actually. Like, that, and I've dug as deeply as I can in terms of where our experience comes from. And it comes from inside of us. However, we do not live in a vacuum. If it's 40 below zero outside, I'm going to freeze my ass off and probably die, right? So temperature impacts my experience for sure, right? Like, on a biological level. So environment, we're not isolated entities. I talk about this a lot. I'll try not to be redundant. But I really want to highlight that we are a part of an ecology, right? So if we're talking about purpose as through the lens of like inner thrive and outer thrive, there's a camp that's like, oh, purpose is essentially purpose is. And then there's this other camp that's like, you know, create your hell yes, discover your dream life, you know, find your ideal career. A lot of the like programs around life design, career discovery, empowerment, all of that is like, let's rearrange the head so that we feel better, right? So that we feel like we're more purposeful or we're living with more purpose, right? That also totally checked out with me. I'm living, you know, my day is a reflection of that. So there, these two kind of camps tend to be pretty like one or the other about it, like pretty black and white about it, in a sense of like, you know, rearrange the furniture and you'll feel a lot better. Like, get the furniture you want and figure out what you intuitively like in your room with your furniture, and you will be happier. The furniture being just a metaphor for your life. And then the other one is like, oh, furniture, that doesn't matter. You can just have a, like, live in the middle of a dump and you can be totally zenned out about it. And still experience purpose. So, and I know I'm being kind of like whimsical right now. And I want to invite the exploration of there, it's both and neither. It's because we live, because we are ecological creatures, we don't live separate or exist separately from anything in the universe or anything around us, even though it feels like we do because all of our senses are here, right? There's an aspect of purpose that is our divine orientation, like our thrive mode, right? Just like all the other creatures in the world, flowers, birds, tigers, cats. Like, what is the purpose of a flower? Well, the purpose of a flower is to thrive as best as it can, right? And serve the ecosystem around it. And so that's I always talk about how nature is a teacher for me. But then the outer environment certainly plays a huge role. If I plant a flower in the middle of the Sahara versus in this jungle over here to my right, that flower is going to have a very different experience, right? And its ability to thrive is going to vary significantly. So honestly, yes, we can experience anything from a place of inner thrive, which is what I've been referring to it as. We can experience any, and this isn't about, you know, spiritually bypassing the experience or being compartmentalizing or dissociating. We have the capacity to experience anything and be in of our innate purpose as living essence, right? Our environment plays a huge role in our thriving as well. And so because we're also unique and we're also incredibly complex and diverse, my outer thrive is going to be unique to me, as is each of yours going to be unique to you, right? So that's why, like, it feels a lot better when our outer thrive is happening. Sure, thought still creates experience in the moment, right? And awesome. And that doesn't mean, like, let's just settle for whatever, you know? And so we're so fortunate in the sense that we can, as humans and in this period of time in history, where we can actually align the two. We can actually bring the two into resonance. And so we're going back to our natural, what we are. We are individuals amongst an ecosystem. So if you look at cultures, native cultures, or even still, right, people who live in harmony with their environment or with their ecosystem, with their peers, with their communities, with their families, it's all one. It's like all one system, right? And there's people learn to thrive in the environments that they're in, you know, in these, like, and I'm generalizing so much right now, but for the most part, we adapt, right? So we adapt, we create our environments create us. It's all happening. So I really want to acknowledge and kind of validate for everybody that on the one hand, like, yes, it's up to you in the sense of what you choose goes on in here or what you choose to pay attention to or co-sign or endorse. Like, that is your practice. And the less we attach to what's going on in here, the more we're able to hear purpose. Like, and that exercise earlier was a little kind of example of that. So you're not off the hook. I'm not trying to say, like, oh yeah, it's totally your environment, that's why you're miserable. No. But like Micah was sharing earlier about being in Denver, you know, and that feel like it feels better. It feels so different. And like, it's like destiny, that feeling of like, yes. So we don't have to be out of feel like we need to get somewhere to experience purpose, because we are purpose. Our purpose is this, and we also get to create outer thrive in resonance with where we feel guided, you know, those intuitive nudges. And that's why it's so important to listen to intuition. So I just wanted to kind of set that up and unpack that a little bit before we watch this video, which I think is just tickles my heart so much. So what we're about to watch, ladies, is a, let me see how long it is. I think it's 12 minutes. A 12-minute snippet of an interview with Ian McGilchrist, who I've been talking about nonstop ever since I discovered him. And for those of you who have listened to his stuff and, you know, kind of been on my, been playing along with me, thank you. And for those of you who haven't or have no idea what I'm talking about, this is a super, I think, a great intro to just who he is and the research that he's done. So he... it needs no further ado, really. But when I stumbled upon this particular excerpt, this particular video, they're talking about Alan Watts. And I was like, oh my God, Ian McGilchrist is talking about Alan Watts. And I was just like, oh, this is the Holy Grail. But so listen softly. Like, we're not trying to listen for anything. We're not trying to like agree or disagree or assess or analyze. I invite you to just kind of let yourself kick back and just kind of be in that space of if you drift off, cool, come back. If something resonates, you can jot it down. If something doesn't resonate, you can jot it down. If something's insightful, you know, you can make note of it. And I'll send this video out to all of you as well. Okay, so let me go ahead and put this full screen. What? Oh no, I have to. It's doing it. Okay. Thumbs up if you guys can hear this.
Is cutting in and out a little bit fun? Or when you speak.
You might want to turn your video off if you're going to show it with the spotty internet. I have that happen in my meetings all the time.
Two writes, the meaning of life is just to be alive. Although that's a quote from Alan. Right, so this one is from Sue. And Sue writes, the meaning of life is just to be alive. Although that's a quote from Alan Watts. And Sue is asking, should we be pursuing meaningful goals in order to make ourselves happier?
Well, yes. That's quite a rich question, really. It has a lot in it. She says meaningful goals, and of course that immediately draws one's attention to the fact that in some sense we associate meaning and purpose. But both meaning and purpose have importantly distinguishable meanings. For example, one can puzzle over what a sentence means, but one can also say, you know, my wife means so much to me, and somebody might say, well, if she means so much to you, tell me what it is. And obviously you can't say. So there are certain kinds of meaning that all the most important kinds of meaning that cannot be either articulated or specified, except very indirectly and unsatisfactorily. And purposes are like this too. You can have an immediate purpose, getting in the car to go to the shops or whatever it might be. So at the very mundane level, we have lots of purposes. But people might ask, but what is the purpose of life? And too often, rather like the meaning that can't be specified, the purpose that can't be specified is thought not to exist. But this is a mistake on a number of grounds. One is that we accord the meaning to small meanings and purposes by relation to other meanings and purposes. So whatever we're doing, whatever we're describing at a very local or detailed level is inevitably in terms of its relationship to other things. But when you take the whole of life, there is nothing for it to be in relation to. Lee Smolin, the physicist, makes the same point about the cosmos, that we have principles about how parts of the cosmos work, but all those principles, all those theories, all those abstract laws are defined in relation to other things that are also within the universe. So when you are asked to describe the universe, the tendency is to use the ideas that you've already got from parts of the universe to apply to the whole universe. But you can't, because there is nothing that the universe can be in relation to outside of itself. This is actually an ancient point, and it was made by one of my intellectual heroes, the Bishop Nicholas of Cusa in the 15th century, a German philosopher and scientist, that everything that is divine, that is infinite and so on, cannot be grasped or given meaning within the concepts that we have for everyday life. So there are very small meanings and very small purposes, and there are huge meanings and huge purposes. And I think a lovely remark is by Philip McCosker, who's a theologian in Cambridge. And he says, you know, that many of the important things are mysterious. But the mystery is not in the knowledge, because the knowledge itself is mysterious. So let me give an example. I know that I'm going to be born, and I know that I'm going to die. Or I know that I'm in love. Now, both of these things are mysterious. But the mystery is not because of a lack of knowledge. I mean, I know these things, but the knowledge itself is mysterious. So it's non-specifiable in terms of the everyday. So when one comes to talk about the meaning in life, I think there are two things. I mean, one is that, yes, for people to enjoy their lives, for most people to enjoy their lives, they are most happy when they're involved in some absorbing task, some absorbing practice. I mean, often when it's with other people, but sometimes it can just be, you know, learning a skill and making a piece of furniture or something. But you're involved in it and you're excited by it and it gives your life meaning. So, and that is not to be dismissed, but it also can't be the whole of wisdom about life, because a very important thing in Chinese philosophy is the wisdom of non-doing. So we tend to think that meaning and everything comes from such activities. And in a sense, it can. But there is a meaning that is greater than that, that actually you only contact when you stop being too involved in detailed, everyday, small tasks. The wisdom of not knowing, of not doing, of being receptive. And that's not a negative kind of unknowing or undoing. It's not just the absence of what we think of as knowing and doing. It's a sort of deliberate disposition of the self towards something bigger to allow it to reveal itself to one. And if one is too busy knowing and doing, one drives out the space in which that something can come to be for us. Now, that something that comes to be for us is going to be the great things, the mysterious things, the things that really do give life its meaning, the things that are communicated by art, the things that are communicated by religion, the things that are communicated by love. If we try too hard to turn those into things that have a purpose or a meaning that we understand, we're actually driving out that fertile space of unknowing, undoing, in which the realization can come to us of what those powerful things actually mean and what their purpose is. So I see life as a sort of unfolding of something in the cosmos. The cosmos is constantly creative, and it's constantly unfolding something out of itself. And you may say, but why? But again, the argument can't be made in human terms, because the cosmos is already bigger than anything that it subsumes all the terms that we could use. We can't find a purpose for the cosmos. But within that, what is a lioness for? What is a lioness's purpose? Well, I suppose Richard Dawkins would say its purpose is to pass on lion genes. Doesn't seem very satisfactory to me. You could say that its purpose is going out and killing a gazelle. Well, that's one of its lunchtime purposes, as it were, in the sense of the purpose I have in getting into the car and so on. Let's go beyond that. I think the purpose of the lioness is to show one aspect of what the verb to be can mean. This is a point actually made by the Oxford physicist Andrew Steen, and I think it's a very good one, that in a way the purpose of everyone's being is to add another aspect to what the verb to be means, to bring into being the goodness of whatever it is that a lioness is, without judgment about whether it's good or bad because it kills things and so on, but it just is an expression of some part of the cosmos. And so I think that Alan Watts is getting at when he says that purpose, the meaning of life is, I can't remember the expression, what was it in the question, the meaning of life is?
The meaning of life is to live it.
The meaning of life is to live it. Nothing needs to be added to it. I think that's the point Alan Watts is making, that you don't need to add a kind of supervening purpose. This is very important when it comes to talking about divinity, because there's a tendency for certain schools of thought to see God as some sort of purposing engineer who purposed a world for his own purposes. like the way that one makes a machine, one makes a clock. I mean, that's the comparison that's often made. And of course, it goes back to the 18th century. This idea of God as a clockmaker, a deistic God, as opposed to a theistic God. And the deistic God is this God who has created a machine and sets it going to do whatever it is that God wants it to do. But that is very much a left hemisphere view. One, it's mechanical. Secondly, it's utilitarian. The thing is for a purpose. And the thing has no freedom, because a machine is not free. A machine is made by its designer to do a certain thing, and that's what it does. It seems to me that the important realization about life is that it is not ever certain, it is not ever determined, that it is not known what will come, and that is fabulously hopeful and creative. That is the essence of a free, creative world. So I think Alan Watts is saying, don't narrow life down. Don't narrow it down to something you could put a phrase on and say, that's what it means, or that is my purpose. Instead, yes, absorb yourself in purposes, because it's fulfilling in the short term, but there are purposes and meanings that are greater and can only be arrived at by abjuring meanings and purposes of the kind that we think of in everyday life.
That's very interesting. I mean, there's some research recently that showed older people who have a sense of purpose tend to live longer and do better in all kinds of mental health and physical health scores. But it's a really interesting paradox that you can have so many purposes that you can miss the meaning as well. You know, you have relative meanings, and the bigger meanings can be kind of lost.
Absolutely. And often because they can't be articulated. But all the really important things in life cannot be articulated. The left hemisphere tends to say, if I can't speak it, because that's its big thing, then it doesn't exist. And you hear philosophers say that. If it can't be put into words, it doesn't have any meaning. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's to put the cart entirely before the horse.
Yeah. A lioness can have meaning, which is beyond verbalization.
Absolutely, and the purpose, which would be diminished, utterly diminished, if one said the purpose is to do something mechanical within the world. It isn't. It's to be. It reminds me of, who was it who said the famous thing, a poem should not mean, but be. And in other words, once you start saying, it means this, then you've reduced it to a handful of platitudes. But it is what it is, irreducibly. And I think human beings live their lives in such a way, as it were, the meaning of their life is to be.
Right. Well, academic injection for you guys, philosophical injection, rather. I would love to hear anything that's coming up for you around that, and we'll be kind of exploring this and reflecting on it as we start to wrap out.
I wrote down a couple of thoughts and then I had a question. So the thoughts that I really liked was all the most important things, we can't articulate it. And a poem should not mean it should be. And it makes me think of the example of sometimes people, like I saw this in a movie, right? It is like, it was an I Love You Man. But one of the guys asked his friend, I mean, if you guys have seen it, like one of the main characters asked Paul Rudd's character, like, why do you want to get married? Why do you love your wife? You know, and he couldn't answer that and it freaked him out, right? But it's like, you know, why do you, like when I think, but I, it made me think about like, why do I love this person? Why do I love my husband? And I can't, there's no way I can articulate it. Someone asked me why, you know, someone had kind of asked me like, why do you travel so much? You don't need it. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And I tried to list it off and explain it to her so I could get her approval. And this is someone I'm close to. It's like my cousin, right? And I was like, I wanted to get her approval. So I was like, well, because of this, because of this, because of this, because of this. And then like, she defined it in her own way and it was so different than what I feel. And I thought to myself, okay, that was not best practice. If I were to see her again or someone were to ask me that question again, it makes me really fucking happy. So anything that makes me really fucking happy, I'm going to continue. I'm going to do more of that, you know, and that's it, period. There's nothing to add to that. Like, I don't have to explain it to anybody. Yeah. And I think, and I see why, I think it ties into purpose, right? I can see why purpose is like, you can't articulate it. And even when I defined it, it wasn't like listed out. It was just like very simple, but I can't define it, but I did it the best way I could. So I don't know. I don't know if other people feel that way. I'd love to know what other people liked about it. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Liz. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Who else? Reflections.
Okay, you know me, I don't mind going, right?
Yay.
Okay, but first I have to say, I've never seen that movie, Layla, but it did remind me when you were talking of a movie I do know, which is Fools Rush In. Really old, Selma Hayek, right? And when she and this guy are going back and forth, and this is one of my favorite quotes, love is a gift, not an obligation. And when she says that, I know it's kind of like defining it, but it, to me it's like, when you think about a gift, not the object, but the essence of it, it's like it can't really be defined, you know? And so that's what I thought about when you, because I didn't know your example, but I related. So, but I kind of highlighted the same things. One of the quotes I wrote was, don't be so focused on purpose that you miss the meaning. Right. And so it goes back to that being, right? Just be. And even the comment I made about staying present when I was thinking about what does purpose feel like? It's like right now, you know? And so I really, really, you know, I like Ian. You turned me on to him. I was noticing the other guy's face, whom I don't know. What was it? Alan. I wrote his name down. Alan Watts. The whole time his face was like,
the interviewer.
Got it.
I haven't indoctrinated you with Alan Watts yet, Deborah, but he's my favorite philosopher of all time, and he passed in the 1980s, I think, but like mid-1900s, he basically brought Eastern philosophy to the West, and I'll send you a playlist. Yeah,
I could tell you got really excited when you said his name, and I was like, okay.
Okay.
Right. But no, I just thought his face was like really interesting because when you listen to Ian, like sometimes my mind drifts in and out. And so for me, it's like, oh, I picked up my phone just by nature, right? And started, but it's like I'm listening, but I'm used to doing two things at once, right? And I was like, oh no, just listen, because with him, like you have to be focused. And I like that Jack put her little earbuds in, right? She's like, let it come right into my ears. But yeah, so I totally loved it, and it was a lot good that he said, but that one, and typically it can't be verbalized, which you can't articulate it, that was the other quote that I wrote down too. But yeah, and there was nothing to add, just being who you are, like that's it, that's enough. So yeah.
thank you so much. Katrina, did I see you reaching for, I think my screen is closing on and off. Awesome. Thank you. Go ahead.
I have my headset in. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I wrote down the purpose of everyone's, this is a quote that I think I got close. The purpose of everyone's being is to add another aspect to what the verb being means.
Mm-hmm.
And that one hit me really hard.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Also, just I think this is what Deborah was saying and what Micah has been saying, just giving yourself space, being okay in those moments of not know. I wrote down the fertile space of unknowing and undoing, and just continuing to remember how important that is.
So beautiful.
I wrote that too, Katrina, about the not adding another aspect. And he said, no judgment, just an expression, I think he said, no judgment. So, yeah.
Cool. Katrina, I'm curious about, you said it hit you hard. I'm curious about how you knew it hit you hard. Not the thoughts about what hit you hard, but like, how did you know? What is hitting you hard? What does that look like, feel like?
It's like a big inhale, and I usually like put my hand on my heart. It's like a, okay, yeah. And not even necessarily knowing, which I think goes to what he's saying anyway, like not necessarily knowing exactly verbatim what that means, but knowing that there's a lot that I want to just ruminate on that. And I want to let that kind of exist, because that one hit me.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love that you were in tune with your body, Katrina, where you say you felt like a deep breath. I know those weren't your exact words, and yeah, you touched your chest. Like it was your body responding to it. That's what stood out to me. I thought that was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that's such a beautiful example. Like again, meta. What resonates with us resonates with us. And then we try to talk about it and share it with each other. And had I asked Katrina, you know, like, why did it hit you hard? You know, like, oh, well, maybe this goes into like, you know, exploring through cognitive analysis. But how did you know? That's something, there's no words. I mean, we can put 1,000 words around that. And that's, again, like humans' best attempt at pointing to the indescribable experience of what it is to be alive. And those feelings that we have, that we get when we resonate with something, or when we feel our intuition saying, go right, or move to Denver, or get your MBA, right? And when we feel these, and small things too, I know those are really big examples, but it's beyond our left hemisphere's ability to like make sense of it. And then it tries to, and it's like, I don't know, right hemisphere, I'm not really sure about this. And the intuition is like, you know, anyway. So that Katrina was a really beautiful example of like this visceral knowing, right? Like your visceral intelligences were like, ding, ding, ding. And you didn't have to know why. It just felt that way. So thank you. All right. Who else would like to share a reflection? And you guys are frozen again.
Micah has her hand up.
I will go.
thank you.
Katrina, the same thing stuck out for me. And I also did the same heart thing. My brain was kind of like putting together a bunch of pieces with different things that I've been thinking about lately, but I'm in this other class and we're talking a lot about how sometimes we confuse aesthetic with essence. And it was kind of making me think of this a little bit, and that like the teacher gave a story about how during World War II, the Nazis were trying to like basically recreate this, I don't remember what it's called, like an older version of a cow. You guys probably know what it's called. And they did it all right, but it wasn't the same. You can't recreate something's essence. It was totally different. Mm. It was an angry creature. I still don't quite know. It takes me a while to process. I kind of have to write. But that thought of like essence versus aesthetic and being versus like doing all the time and letting that like being unfold into what you're doing rather than creating this like purpose, you know, like dressing up a purpose instead of just like letting it unfold. I don't know if any of that made sense. I'm still processing, but that's kind of what I was thinking about.
Thank you. Wow. Amazing anecdote, like reference, essence and aesthetic. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? I don't know. You guys are all, your ladies are all frozen. Oh no. Oh, Micah, I can see you moving a little bit. Dressing up a purpose. Yeah. Yeah. So what's really, if anybody else wants to share as I'm talking, just interrupt me. And whoever can hang for a quick takeaway round. feel free to. I would love to kind of do some takeaways. What's really cool about this is like we're relearning about what we are. We're relearning how what we are and how we're designed or built. Designed is so loaded, it sounds like, you know, whatever. But I just mean like how, like our incredible system, right? Like our incredible situation. Oh my gosh. Like we're phenomenal organisms and we're literally designed to thrive. And then we like get all mixed up in this culture and the society and like the left brain and this like all of the, gosh, just like all of the conditioning and then add to that like actual cultural conditioning, not just like the conditioning of how the brain is operating, but also the conditioning itself. And we have no idea that we are purpose. And that all we need to do is listen to our inner guidance system, our intuition, our right hemisphere. We've been actually told, like, that's irrational, that's crazy. I know I talk about this a lot, but like our culture and our society has become, it is so left hemisphere. And this is so cool because it's like, oh, well, no wonder, you know, like no wonder we're so stressed out. No wonder we're so hyper analytical about ourselves and our lives and our futures. And we worry about things. And that is all literally a part of our brain that has gotten out of control, it's out of balance. And I find that to be so awesome because we're kind of off the hook in a sense. It's like, oh, like we're not designed to be operating like this. We're literally not meant to be like thinking all the time, let alone thinking in this like narrow critical left hemispheric way all the time. We're designed to have a right hemisphere that is the driver and that is tuned in with ecology and tuned in with the universe toward thriving. So it's really interesting that like the more we let off the steering wheel, I mean, the more we let go of control or the more we let go of trying to figure it out, or plan the future, or try to simulate, you know, like, oh, well, what is my purpose? I got to find my purpose. If I don't, you know, when we just let go and quiet and learn these new things that have always been dormant within us, right? This kind of like latent potential for being in touch with our compass, our thriving compass. And this is what Michael Neal talks about a lot, and you know, the kind of three principles stuff, but also like Ian McGilchrist is like saying the same thing, but from a neuroscience like perspective. It's so awesome. So you're all off the hook from trying to figure anything out when it comes to purpose. Just listen. And just like the exercise that we did at the very beginning, where for the most part, what came through was pretty accurate, like, you know, felt true, right? That feeling of like, yeah, that wasn't through effortful thinking, like logical, like, okay, what is purpose, right? It was just, you didn't have time to bring that part of you into that experience. That was your like stream of consciousness, like listening to your kind of whatever came through intuition. And it turned out to be pretty on point, right? Except for that really a couple of kind of questions that, and I don't have time to go into this right now, but the discomfort around the idea of purpose come from. My theory would be that, and I put that question in there for a reason. My theory would be that like creates a different experience because our purpose didn't, our feeling of purpose or idea of purpose didn't come from anywhere. Like we are purpose. And so that question's like, wait, what? Like, wait a minute. It causes like some second guessing. So this is the new, we're so fortunate, you guys, like I'm so excited to be alive at this time when finally there's like conclusive empirical evidence, left brain is happy, that is pointing toward what wisdom traditions have been saying forever, and pointing toward a lot of everything in LFP essentially, that anything that stresses us out, anything that puts us into like hyper arousal or critical thinking or negative thinking or stress, like any of that is actually not serving us in any way. We can literally let it go, like on a biological level. And I just think that's so cool. And more on that in upcoming calls, because we're going to be doing some fun stuff. But all right. So I shall stop talking. We are a bit over time. Some of you are frozen. How are we doing? Thank you. Send the link to the video. Yeah, I can put it. Do you mean the video, Jess? I'll put it in the chat right now. Oh, no, I closed the window. I will. And I actually have been curating a Ian McGilchrist for LFP playlist. Oh, I sent that actually today in my travel email, but I'll send that out with this call recording as well. And the specific link to that specific video as well. Thank you. Yeah, I've listened to that video like 20 times and I'm still like, oh, whoa. Whoa. All right. If you need to hop, hop. If you can stay for a quick takeaway round, yay. And if anybody can needs to hop but wants to share a takeaway, just go ahead and dive in. And thanks for indulging my watch party this evening. It's like my hell yes to share that with you ladies. So thank you for indulging that. All right. Thank you.
Bye, Deb. I am just letting that land. Oof. I want the whole playlist and I want the link again. I think that it's the definition of what he was speaking to right now in the inability to articulate and even to attempt to put words to, because then you're just limiting what is. So I'm going to leave it with that was really beautiful and I think you've talked before about like having downloads.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what that means or I don't know, but there's something about the space that I was in then coming back to the call that was very different. And I kind of got irritated because I didn't want to be fucking talking. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be back in the space. It was like the other night when you were like, if you'd like to stay in the space, feel free to stay in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it felt like, because there was like, I didn't want time to process. I wasn't processing. It was just like time to be in the way that the words brought, like bubbled up. So that was really cool because I tried to write and then I stopped writing. The takeaways were too many, or there were the words would not justify. The recap couldn't do that service. So I would describe it as the essence of being, and it's very quiet and very like expansive. And like, as you cannot describe the universe to any other thing because we don't have the ability, it would be the same. Like I shared that sense of articulation that he had. So that was, I have listened to your entire Alan Watts playlist multiple times. And like nothing sounded the same as that 12-minute clip just now. Wow. So that was awesome. Really cool. So thank you.
Okay. Woo. Beautifully shared. Thank you. Thank you, Jess. Yeah. And that space in your noticing of the like irritation of like, I don't want to go. I don't talk right now. Like that is the level of distinction that we're creating within ourselves. Like to be able to feel that difference, that's awesome. Like that is the ability to tap in, right? Ever notice when you're like, I don't wanna leave. That's great. Yeah. And I also feel that way all the time, which is why I listen to his stuff pretty much nonstop. Okay, who's next? Oh, my screen is. Go ahead.
I can go. Jocelyn, what you were saying just now, I want to echo that. And also, like, with what you said, I just, like, have this picture in my head of I don't know, trying to describe it and put these, I don't know, like key takeaways. I felt similar, like I was writing notes down and then I had to stop. But it made me think of like taking a picture of a sunset to show someone you were there versus just like watching sunset and experiencing it. And yeah, I feel like that's kind of the space I was in as well, just like kind of taking it all in. And this might be not the right or whatever, but also like in that space, I was kind of like, purpose is made up. Like, it's just a word. Like, why do we need to find purpose? Like, because I think purpose finds us when we're being ourselves and we're just expressing and, yeah, and like not operating from a place of life unfolding, us being a part of the unfoldment, I guess. So I don't know if any of that made sense either, because I'm having a hard time. Again, it's like trying to take a picture of the sunset versus just being like, wow, that's awesome.
Beautiful. Yep. Thank you. So good. Who's next?
Okay, I'm going to go next because it's not going to be close to Jazz or Michael. But first of all, I feel honored that I've been able to listen to Ian's, like a lot of his taped lectures and stuff. I feel really blessed, but I haven't been able to listen to Alan. So sounds like I don't really need to go back, but.
Oh, you do. I'm definitely going to send over Alan.
Okay. So listening to Jazz initially, I was thinking about how, like when, I think it's Katrina spoke, and then I was like, oh, yeah, because I wrote that down, too. And then I realized I didn't even write it down correctly, which speaks to that whole point where it's like, and I feel like I took the opposite approach where you intelligent young women were like, oh, this is just too much. I'm just going to be in it. Right. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, OK, I got to write faster, you know, which means I don't even know what I wrote. But yeah, he's always amazing to listen to. And I appreciate that. And then another piece I wanted to go back to was what Katrina said earlier when we were first talking about purpose, and she said it felt like coming home to her. And I was like, at first, and you know, no offense, Katrina, but I was like, I feel like it's the opposite. Like, I feel like it's a totally different space. But then I realized, and I hear you say this all the time, Fawn, it's this and piece, because there is this comfort in it. Like, it feels familiar, like home, because you are in your authentic self. And it's also like something, you know, you've never experienced before, right? So it's like, just like what we just talked about, how a lot of times words don't fully express it. And so tonight has just been just beautiful. And I just want to say thank you to everybody because I've learned so much.
Thank you, Deborah. Yes. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Yes, and ladies, let's be aware of that tendency to want to write things down. I mean, my sticky note situation, we all know what that looks like, so no judgment. But being aware of our tendency to like record the sunset or the concert or the experience versus being in the experience, or write notes down instead of being present with what's being said if there's an opportunity to listen later, right? Like, you, this is a great example of how it takes us out of our experience to shift into trying to articulate, right? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's a great thing to notice and be aware of. So thank you. All right, Layla, Katrina.
Okay. Katrina, do you want to go? Okay. Micah, I love what you said about taking a photo and of a sunset and then like trying to show it to someone, and it's nothing like the experience. Like, I went to the Grand Canyon for the first time a few years ago, and like, I've seen pictures of the Grand Canyon and I'm like, you know, and then I got there and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. It was just too much to consume, but there's no way I could put it in a box and paint a picture of what that experience was like by talking to someone, you know. They have to see it for themselves. So I loved what you said about taking a photo. It's just, it's not the same, you know. I think like a few takeaways that I've kind of put together in my own words were, you know, listening to our inner guidance is kind of like a muscle in a way. Like, it's unfamiliar at times, and I think the more that we start to do it and live intentionally, and the easier it gets. I don't know if easier is the word, but the more, like, it's available to us, it's here. And I think that for me in my life, it took a lot of unwiring old habits and saying yes when I meant no and all kinds of stuff. And I also think that, like, I don't know how exactly to explain it tying into, like, purpose. But I think sometimes our worries and anxieties and our fear, the things that stress us out, the stories around the events that we tell ourselves, if we don't look into it and define what that means to us and question those ideas, those stories or what we think causes our anxiety, which I think anxiety, like the things that we think cause our anxiety, the events that are outside of our control that cause anxiety, that cause stress, is if we don't listen to our inner guidance, if we don't do that, those thoughts and ideas consume us almost like our identity, where the way we carry ourselves, it plays into the way we carry ourselves. You know, we're a little more paranoid of, you know, everybody around us. That's just an example. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but, I just read Jasmine. Oh, I'm sad. Shoot. If you have a moment, you can step in and share over me. Seems like she's getting ready to go. Okay, Jasmine, good night. Yeah, but I think if the less we listen to our inner guidance, the more we listen to these things that we feel consume our identity, but it doesn't have to. You know, those ideas don't have to play into our day-to-day lives. And just even if we're just sitting there, it can really consume us. It's still a like newborn thought, so I'm still figuring it out. I'm articulating it the best I can.
Beautifully articulated, Layla.
Thank you.
Yeah, truly. Yeah, and you're absolutely accurate. Absolutely accurate. What we pay attention to and treat as real is how we will experience our experience.
Yeah. It's how we experience our experience. Yeah. It's our human experience, right?
Yeah. And that's why that, like, thought creates experience in the moment. Yeah. You know, like, there is nothing that can stress me out other than my thinking about stressful things, other than, like, actual fight or flight. There's, like, a tiger in here, you know, but, like,
right.
Yeah. And to you, yes, absolutely. So, and this is probably next call, but levels of consciousness, right? So when we're in that narrow focused left hemisphere, stress, anxiety, what could go wrong? What's going wrong? Spin cycle, negative thoughts, fear, right? There's not a lot of opportunity, like when we're in it, you know, like our quality of experience is like not so great. And when we're open and slowed down, our experience is great. It's like there's a difference, right? So totally love that. Love, love, love that this is like coming together for you.
Thank you.
Oh, awesome. All right, Katrina, take us home.
Yeah, I was, I love what Layla just said. So I've been struggling because what's coming up for me is something that I have been struggling with for a long time, and it's the reason why I'm getting invaded by children. So I'll make this quick. It's the reason why. Sorry, hold on. I feel like I can hear what my intuition says. Antoine, I've told you this. I've done meditations where I've heard loud and clear, and I just fight it still. And that's kind of what came up for me, where it says, you know, what was your relationship experience or your with it? And what's just been hitting me right now is I feel like I have moments where I get the intuition, but then I overthink it. And I'm like, but I've got mortgage, I've got kids, I've got this, I've got that, I've got, how are we going to do this? What are the logistics? How can I possibly make this work? And when I think about my hell yes life, it's like this thing that exists here. And I am still here, and I'm taking little baby steps with it, but I don't know how to, I feel like I haven't, there's still something. I mean, the word, where did purpose come from? I didn't answer what I said to that because I had such a different take on it. I put the womb. Like, I feel like you were born with what you're supposed to do. I just am struggling to see how I make the big leaps. So that's kind of what's, I think I just kind of want to keep. Being more open to it and not getting down too hard on myself over it. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Katrina. Yeah. Like, you have valid things to be concerned, you're responsible for. Right. Wow. And it is perhaps part of your purpose to be a steward of all of that. Right. And to be mindful of that and to have the experience of, I want this, but what about, right? Maybe that's part of all of it. I mean, obviously it is because it's happening. Right. But there's nothing personal about anything that you're struggling with. It's not wrong, it's not bad, and it's not you. It's an experience of at what you're navigating. Yeah. And the more listening, the more you'll know what you need to know. And you kind of chill until then. I mean, really. Not to oversimplify, but kind of.
Also, Katrina, it's funny because you were saying, like, I hear these things and I don't act on it. And, like, from my perspective, I see you being so in tune always and acting on everything. Like, I've told Fawn this, and I told Jasmine the other day. We brought you up and I was like, Katrina's like my hero. Like, you just so gracefully are in tune and just take the next step, do the next thing. Like, from my perspective, it seems like you're just always doing that and just in such a flow, and it inspires me. And I know everyone else here too. So, I just wanted to share that. I think you're fucking crushing it.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And I'm also going to add that I'm just sending you a whole bunch of love and kindness, because even when some people can see and we can say thank you and it can make us feel good in that moment, we can sometimes still come back to feel that gap. And that's okay too. And that's okay to be kind to yourself if you can still feel the gap when everyone's saying you're amazing and awesome and you're like, but I'm not I'm here still. Thank you, but I'm here and I want to be there, and that's so hard. That's okay too, and I'm sending you a big old hug for that space.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with both Jasmine and Micah. Like, I'm like, Micah's like, you're fucking kicking ass. Like, you know, I mean, I see it. I mean, you know, you just launched your business, you became Facebook public, and then Jasmine, amongst the many other things, right? And then Jasmine's talking about that, you know, it's okay, you know, to feel what you feel, you know, and I think that's part of, this is just my opinion, but sometimes it's part of the journey. It's not always our favorite, but I think sometimes we fight those feelings of insecurities, or we fight those feelings like, I shouldn't feel this way, especially because we're around so many powerful women. But what makes us powerful is those vulnerabilities. And, you know, I think it's, in a way, and I can't quite figure it out, is that those feelings that maybe don't appear like they serve us, right? Like, oh, I can't do this, or we have a mortgage, you have a family. It's also something to love and embrace, because if we hate it, then I think this is just, I'm figuring this out, but I think that loving it and being kind to it and accepting it, you know, gives us like the compassion that we should be, that I think we should be giving ourselves. And I think the more we like, this is just my opinion. I might be wrong here, because like, I'm not trying to give advice. This is just my opinion by any means. Like, you know, I think maybe if we give ourselves compassion to those feelings, it gives us the growth that we need, you know. And you're not always going to be married to those ideas. And sometimes it might come up, but you'll know, I think that we know that this is something that comes up sometimes, and that's okay. And maybe like the things that we learn from it, the wisdom that we learn from those experiences that we love, that may not appear that they serve us, can help us, you know, in the long term, or we can give that feedback to each other. You know, so you definitely, everyone has their fears around and anxieties around the things that we do. Everyone's trying to do something extraordinary, and it's difficult. It's difficult, you know, like, it's a bold ass group of women. Yeah, I talk a lot. I'm sorry, guys.
I feel like that was such, as you're talking, I'm like, I'm so glad this is being recorded. Like, I'm going to go back later, and I'm going to be like, I'm going to repeat. Like, this is a bold-ass group of women. Yes,
oh.
It's true, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not easy being bold.
No.
You know?
No.
If it was, everybody would be bold as fuck, you know?
Right?
Yeah.
I told Vaughn when we first started, I used to just so look up to these like executives that I worked with, and I thought they were untouchable, and I thought that somehow they had reached this like level of confidence where they never doubted themselves. And then when I got there, I was like, what the fuck? I still got all this fucking self-doubt. And then I became friends with them, and they still all had the self-doubt, and I was like, oh, there isn't some magic pill you take one day. And that's part of what I try to do with my team, too. Like, yes, you can appear so put together over here, and you still got all this shit over here.
Mm.
Totally.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Woo! I'm going to have y'all start hosting these calls. This is so amazing. Wow. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's insecurity, right? Like, it's only, insecurity is only a thing if we make it a thing. You know, it's like, everyone's insecure. No, everyone's a human being. Let's not, you know, like, label it an insecurity. It's just part of what we are, you know, doing, living. And we just, again, compartmentalization. Yeah. Oh, gosh, ladies, this is so, so, so beautiful. And in fact, I had a question I didn't ask. I'm going to leave you with this, and I'll put it in the email. And I think, Katrina, this is like, couldn't be more perfect. So what would change if you really knew that right now, right here, this moment is your purpose, and there's no future thing that you think might be there? There's no out there. There's no purpose out there, no purpose in the future, not in a nihilistic way, but there's no, like, really though, like, okay, here's the actual truth. Purpose is right here, right now. What would change for us if we like let go of this concept that like we're working toward purpose and we're not there yet. We don't have it yet. Right. If we really knew that we are whole, and I have this little idea, like we're a natural expression of wholeness, and that's our purpose. We can't be any more whole than whole. So something to try on. Nowhere to get to, nothing to do, nowhere to be, but right now. Awesome. On that note, everybody shared, right? Sorry, I got really swept up in the takeaways. Thank you, ladies, so much. This is like the best. I would just like want everybody to move in together in the villa and like do this all the time.
I didn't want the call to end.
I know.
Me too. Yeah, Terry's super mad at me. He's struggling with 3 kids, so I'm gonna go.
I set you free. All right, thanks. Go be purpose.
Bye.
All right. Good night, guys. Thank you.
You guys are all amazing.
Ciao.